caught, we are. Be careful what you say. Watch what you say. We're going to give it a couple more seconds here. I'm going to call to order the regular meeting for the South San Luis Obispo County Sanitation District for Wednesday, January 6, 2016. And would you all please rise and do the pledge with us tonight?
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Roll call, please. Director Hill?
Here.
Vice Chair Guerrero?
I'm here. Thank you.
Chairman Schultz?
Here.
Thank you, John. With that, we are going to move to public comments on any items that are not appearing on the agenda. Are there any members of the community that would like to address the board?
Good evening and Happy New Year. I'm Julie Tacker, and I appreciate that you added the flag salute. I hope that we can formally actually put it on the agenda in the future. I was unable to attend your last board meeting, but I was in attendance at the previous Wednesday's Oceano Community Services District meeting. And at that meeting, that board appointed Mary Lucy as their president for a second year. There was some discussion about how that affects the seat here, and their board relied, as your board did last year, on a Best and Krieger legal opinion about the suitability of whether the presiding officer should sit in the seat at the sanitation district or if an alternate or some other designee could sit here. They chose to better be safe than sorry, kind of, and suggested that Mary Lucy is the appointee to the sanitation district. What confuses me is that while Mayor Schultz took the chairmanship, Director Guerrero moved into the vice chair here at the sanitation district. And then the question that comes to my mind is, what does that make Ms. Lucy? She is the appointee. Does that in effect make her the vice chair when she's here? I'm thoroughly confused. And I don't believe your bylaws, or I've never seen it in anybody's bylaws, address the alternate. And is, I mean, she's the appointee. So even your letterhead here on your agenda has her as an alternate. But she's the designee from Oceano. So I hope we can work through that because my own personal opinion is Mr. Guerrero would serve better as a vice chair than Ms. Lucy should she be here on the night that a vice chair was needed.
Thank you, Julie. Is there anyone else that would like to please come forward and state your name for the record?
Thank you, Board of Directors. My name is John Carter. I live at 1778 Aloha Place in Oceano. I've lived there since about 1992. And the specific subject I'd like to address this evening is the vagrant's impact on the Oceano Lagoon area. And I'm specifically speaking to the area that's adjacent to the corner of Security Court and Aloha Place and the bridge that allows passage going south into the habitat in there. It's a state parks habitat that I understand a state parks habitat with a small portion belonging to the sanitation facility. And that trail leads up and goes up on the levee. I've lived there, like I said, since 1992, and I frequently walk that area, walk the area with the dog. I walk the area to go up on the levee and look at the wildlife in the area. And I also walk that area to go surfing off the end of the levee area there. Just to briefly go over some of the appearance that I've noticed in that area, It represents some type of a buildup of degradation through time. Initially, it was a very clean trail. You never saw any trash in there. If you saw a piece of trash, people picked it up. That's how clean it was. Subsequent to that, there became scattered trash, and mainly this was empty bottles, empty cans, empty food wrappers, stuff like that. Nothing that you couldn't pick up and continue to clean. And then as time went on, and I don't have time frames for this, I saw more plastic bottles. There were liquor bottles. Then subsequent to that, there became bags of trash. These are just bags of trash that are taken out of somebody's facility, taken off their property, maybe just left there through transients. I don't know. Okay, then the bags of trash eventually evolved out. There was paper trash. There was toilet paper. There was partially eaten food in the area. There were food and drinks that were incompletely consumed. And then eventually it got to the point where people were bringing buckets in there and using these things as temporary bathrooms. And then if you go in there now, you'll find chairs, you'll find bicycle parts, you'll find clothes, you'll find towels. It's disgusting. Okay, and I had pictures, but I didn't want to bring those in. Okay, so we've seen a slow period of degradation of the habitat in there. Okay, now I'd like to make a point here that I'd like to distinguish between homeless folks and some vagrants that are there. We've had homeless folks in that area for years. And most of these homeless folks, they respected the environment. I would talk to them. My wife would talk to them. They'd bring their trash out. They'd put it in our dumpster. And eventually they were able to move on through maybe some county facilities or something like that. Okay, but now we have people in there who intentionally disregard the environment and disregard the laws and ordinances of the area. The other thing is that little footbridge there and the habit that walk through the habitat, it represents a pathway for a lot of people to come out there. There's a lot of birders that come out there. There's families that want to go out to the beach out there, and it's interesting, and it's a nice little pathway. Okay. But now, when people come out, I'll see them walk in, and they'll immediately walk out. And immediately they're walking out is because they're a little apprehensive when they see tents back in the shrubbery, in the brush, and then they see all the trash and material there. So that's what I'm mainly addressing and I'm concerned about. Now, the other thing that I've seen most recently is that at night and early in the morning, and I'd say early in the morning, 2 or 3 o'clock in the morning, cars are dropping people off. They'll pull up there, and I'll see people get out, the dog will bark, I'll look outside, and then there's scurry of activity, and then the cars are gone. Okay, they're dropping people off. And there's been other times when there's been like 2 cars will come out there, I'll go down there and I'll talk to them, I'll say, hey, listen, you know what this area is? I mean, there's a lot of issues with people back in this area here. You know, they could be using drugs, they may be disrespecting the law or breaking the law in some aspect. And it's not a good idea to be down here. And so I challenged more than one car on this. And one girl told me, well, my boyfriend's in there and he's trying to talk to somebody, talk him out of staying there. Okay, then the next fellow I talked to, he's in this van, a large van, and I caught him coming out and I said, you know, what are you doing back in there? And he said, well, I came here to help a girlfriend of mine move out. And I said, well, that's commendable. You know, I think helping people get out of this area is a good idea. So 5 minutes later, he went back in there and he's back and I never saw him again. He certainly didn't move anybody out. So I would like to be, you know, on the more favorable side and saying these people were trying to do good things, but I don't think they were. I think they were there for illegal activity. They were there for a short period of time and who knows what they were doing. Okay, so to summarize just a bit, more vagrants are moving in. The curb traffic at night is increasing. The trash and debris fields of these folks are expanding. And I think the vagrants are becoming more hostile and aggressive as their size and area of influence increases. Now, there are some differences here, and I think there are important differences between what we had at Delta Street and what we have at the Grover train station. Okay, the first thing is that you're in an area here that's very close to residential folks. Okay, and that trash is used, and that trail is used by the public. Okay, and it's an access point for various natural resources. And then I believe the vagrants, and I call them vagrants because they're disrespecting the law and the habitat and other folks, they're importing illegal activity into the area just by their presence. And I think it's drugs and mainly prostitution. I have no factual information on that. I've called the Oceano Sheriff's Department several times, but by the time they can get over there, I mean, the people are usually gone. So if there's going to be some, that's why I go out there and, you know, interact with them myself. Okay, just a couple recommendations. I think it...
I need you to really wrap up in 30 seconds.
Okay.
I'm giving you extra time.
Okay. Thank you very much. We need to force the vagrants to evacuate and leave the area, pick up, and we need to pick up their trash, and I'll help. You put a dumpster out there, and I'll help. We need to put up a temporary fence that would border that area to keep the vagrants out. It's a temporary fence. And I think it would be a good idea if we could post a sign that said, County State Property, no overnight camping. And thank you for the time here.
Mr. Carter, thank you for those comments. And let the record show, I believe we have a copy of the letter that you had sent to Sheriff Parkinson and Supervisor Lynn Conklin.
Right, right.
And we really appreciate you coming in and bringing this up.
Okay, and the other thing is I think Sheriff Ian Parkinson and Lynn Compton have done a great job doing everything they can to help facilitate resolution to the problems we have in the Oceano area and the county as well.
Very good. We'll share that with them when we talk to them. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Carter.
Is there anyone else that would like to address the board? Doing public comment.
Just briefly, I was really intrigued to see a letter from folks in Oceano because we're having the same problem in Grover Beach. And the thing that I've heard time and time again from people is that they really want to help solve the problem. And so one of the suggestions that has been made to me is that perhaps these folks ought to get together and go talk with the Five Cities Homeless Coalition and see what we can do to pull together the various social service agencies. And that our problem isn't so much with the homeless, but in many ways it's the out-of-towners. It's the ones who come in looking for trouble. So I think that what's happening is a light is being shone on what's really going on, and the community is becoming more aware of it. And I'm hoping that all of us can join together and get on the same page and do what we can to help the folks who need the help.
Great, thank you, Ms. Peterson. Is there anyone else?
Good evening. My name is April McLaughlin. I'm a Five Cities resident. And I'm surprised to see nothing about the Knutson report. So that's why I'm talking about items not on the agenda. It saddens me greatly. Please.
Thank you, Ms. McLaughlin. Anyone else? Okay, seeing no one come forward, I'm going to close public comment.
Can I make one comment, Mr. Scholes?
Yes. Just one second. Go ahead and make your comment.
Yeah, I would thank Mr. Carter and Ms. Peterson for their attention to the homeless issues. I did have the opportunity. I read Mr. Carter's letter previously. I did have the opportunity, an accidental opportunity, albeit, to meet with Sheriff Parkinson yesterday, and I mentioned the issues with the vagrancy and the concerns, and of course they do extend to Arroyo Grande and Grover as well. And we just had that violent incident yesterday in Grover Beach, and so the challenge is solutions, like Ms. Peterson mentioned, and the challenge is coming up with solutions, but obviously the problem is very obvious, and I have been down there myself in the area that you're talking about and looked around, and we took some pictures, and I probably would not go there alone.
Yeah.
I would not go there alone, so thank you.
Very good.
One other suggestion is, I'm not sure what the overlapping jurisdictions are there, but if it's state park property, the state parks office is there also, and they have an enforcement authority, so you might want to contact them as well.
Yeah, and those are really good points. I can tell you the effort in Grover Beach, south of the train depot, it has been a multi-agency cooperation, not just with Union Pacific, but state parks, also social service agency, so I know it has been a huge effort to coordinate on those, and so that's why I'm glad this letter came forward. I think dealing with Sharon Parkinson and the supervisor is a great place to start, and clearly it's an issue going on in the area, and I think all of us on our respective boards are going to have to figure out how we can work together on this very difficult issue. And I mean, there's obviously two sides to it, but I'm not going to dwell on that. This is public comment tonight. I do have one thing I did want to ask. Maybe legal counsel can look into this and we can have an answer the next time. Ms. Tacker brought up an issue regarding the OCSD appointment of Ms. Lucy and my motion to have Mr. Guerrero be vice chair. I think I was pretty clear that it was for Mr. Guerrero, but if there is any legal basis or anything that is that would affect that, I think we want to know so we can get this cleared up. Okay. Very good. Okay, we're going to move forward on our consent agenda. There are two items on consent tonight, and these are typically routine items that we take as a group. One is item 3A, review and approval of minutes for the meeting of December 16, 2015. And the other is, which is 3B, review and approval of warrants. Do any members of the board want to remove any items from consent?
I do not.
I don't. Do any members of the public want to speak on items on the consent agenda tonight?
Good evening again. I am Julie Tacker, and I would like to speak to your warrant register. My first concern is over the Bartle Wells Associates $7,000 plus. I was under the impression when your board considered the rate increase that there would be sort of another public hearing with a kickoff for the rate increase. And I understand that the notices have gone out and that the actual closing of the public hearing is in February. I recall suggesting at a following meeting that you had adopted a rate structure. And by sending out a notice, it has a rate structure in it. And I think Mr. Schultz said, no, we didn't adopt it. Well, of course, you haven't implemented it or formally accepted it or closed the public hearing, but the structure's the structure, and it's in that hearing notice. And it is what it is. And what it's asking those ratepayers to do is pay the fine and pay for a redundancy project that you don't have a permit for. And you don't really know what the final cost of the redundancy project is going to be. So I think the rate study actually is probably on the low side. And you'll be back at those ratepayers asking for something else. And I wish we had gotten a little more solid footing on the redundancy project and having a price tag. I have some heartburn over the outside counsel, Downey Brand, and the unknowing that inability for the public to know where you're going with a lawsuit and the State Water Board. The last question I have is with the Michael Nunley redundancy project item here, $3,800. When Mr. Sweet was here, the very end, he hired Mr. Nunley for $5,000 to go back and look at the Kennedy Jenks cost estimates. And he came back with something close. That was what I believe was the last contract approved for Mr. Nunley. Mr. Nunley has been doing work on an as-needed basis. Last he was here, your board heard a presentation about setting up preparing an RFP for the redundancy project design, et cetera, and we never saw a contract for that work, yet last meeting, you had a $9,000 warrant not tied to a contract. I'm unclear, with multiple contracts going on, which is this $3,000 in redundancy phase one? What does that really mean? And it's your job, when you're signing warrants, to look at those invoices and see which project is the money going towards and how you're spending it down per the contracts, and we'll be talking about that again later. But these are my concerns regarding the warrants.
Very good, thank you. Anyone else? Okay, seeing no one come forward, let me bring it back to the board. Any questions, any comments?
No questions on the, I do believe that Mr. Nunley's efforts on the RFP or RFQ was separately covered by a separate contract. Is that not correct?
Staff?
On the RFQ, it was, I don't think we actually had a contract with him. Now we set up a contract to rectify it. The funds were actually approved by the board to move forward on that particular project. A particular contact directly with Mr. Nunley at that time we did not have for that. But again, the funds were approved, the work was done. In tonight's contract, we're seeking to bring Mr. Nunley on as a general service engineer, like Mr. Gehring and like Ms. Sweeney was, so that in these events, we have a set, you brought in, and the board has his a rate schedule for him so that in the future all these things will be covered under the general services contract when it's not a specific work done based on a bid.
My recollection was, though, for this particular warrant, that it was authorized by the board.
There was a
fund that the funds were.
Yeah, there was a work plan authorized and the funds were authorized. So.
Thank you. Those are my only concerns.
Director Grell?
No, I'm just assuming that since the Brownstein building is back on, that the questions were able to be answered regarding the propriety thereof. Okay.
Yes, the legal counsel had helped us with that, yes.
Great. Thank you. Then I move to approve the consent agenda.
Second.
Okay, there's a motion and a second. Any discussion on the motion? Okay. All in favor?
Aye.
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 All opposed? None. Motion carries. And I did want to acknowledge a comment Ms. Tacker had made regarding the rate study. I don't want to have a conversation at this point, maybe later in the agenda when there was communication. Okay. So then let's move on to item number 4, which is the plant superintendent's report.
Good evening, Chairman and board members. With regard to operations, our numbers are a little high, but all are within our limits. Suspended solids is right at our limit. I did call the water board representative and just kind of discuss it. We were so close, I wanted to discuss it and make sure that at 40 that we weren't beyond or exceeding any limitations, and she told me that we're not, there's no problem with that, and 40 is not an exceedance. Anything over 40, 41 or above would be an exceedance, and so that's where we are.
40 or above, you mean above 40?
Above 40.
Okay.
Which would be 41.
Right, thank you.
And some of it comes down to most significant digit. Our limit is 40, and it's not 40.0, so it would have to be 41 to be a violation.
Okay.
So, I got clarification from the water board just to make sure.
Thank you, John.
This information. With regard to maintenance, we removed and replaced sweeper arm on final clarifier. That was kind of one of the reasons we had a higher number. We went without a sweeper arm. On our clarifiers, there's a sweeper arm that scrapes the scum off the top surface of the water. Well, one of our operators went in for an alarm, and of course that sweeper arm had broken off, and we were pretty fortunate because it was hanging down into the clarifier itself. It didn't fall all the way off, and our staff was able to get in there and take it off. Took a week to get the replacement parts. We got it put back on, but during that week, we took on, we weren't able to clean that surface scum out, and it passed on into the effluent. Gave us a little high numbers for the week. So that was one of the reasons our numbers are a little higher for this month than they typically are. Anyway, our staff went in there and got that straightened out. So now we have a good arm on that thing. We cleared sediment from the condensate drain in our boiler, lubricated sweep drives on all clarifiers. Disassembled and repaired broken check valves at number 3 recycle pump, recalibrated ferric chloride pump, repaired hose tip on our chlorine pump at our bug box, reset fusible plug at the flare, completed installation of VFD at our recycle water station, and completed all work orders that had come out during that time period. We also took a sample a couple weeks ago from our rotating bearing box on our fixed film reactor, and we got the results back. It was again high in water. Somehow we've been getting a lot of condensate in that bearing chamber, and again the answer had been that we just changed it out a lot more frequently right now. Other than that, there was nothing that triggered an alarm. We still have a very small amount of ferric fragments in the oil too, which means it's some place in that bearing that something, some metal is degrading a little bit, and so again but nothing that triggers any alarm, and we'll continue to change our oil on a monthly basis and on that piece of equipment for now. What we have in progress is Garing, Taylor & Associates will continue to work with us on getting doing the work to ensure the integrity of the sewer bridge. Right now, we're just waiting for a response from Fish and Game on our last submission. We're also working with Mike Nunley and Associates for our grit removal system. We expect to have draft RFP available for the board to view at our next meeting so that we can move forward with getting that grit system installed. We're working again with Mike Nunley Associates on mechanical bar screen. We have an electrical contract in our board pack tonight. When we get that, we can move forward on that on the electrical contract for the electrical engineering. Once we get that done, we'll be prepared to submit an RFP for that project also. Our secondary process redundancy project, tonight we will have a permitting update. Mr. Nunley is here and Mr. Rickenbach is here to present where we are with regard to permitting for our redundancy project. With our satellite water resource recovery facilities, we had a meeting yesterday. During the meeting, again, the group discussed, at the meeting, Grover Beach was at the meeting, Arroyo Grande was at the meeting, Oceano had a representative at the meeting, WSC had a representative at the meeting, of course, I was there for on behalf of the district. We talked about what's the best plan going forward. I think that was board direction to try to determine a plan that going forward that actually makes sense, that could lead to something that would benefit the district and perhaps the region. We still had some input about possibly delaying redundancy till we can somehow tie in reclamation to it. But again, my input on that was that our responsibility is to ensure the health and safety of this district, and redundancy is the one thing that we must do, and there's nothing that has priority over that. Reclamation is a good idea. Reclamation is something that I would hope would happen, but redundancy is our job, and so we were able to talk through that, and so in the end, we kicked around ideas, and it looks like we kind of agreed as a group that it might be a good idea for our study to go into a direction of studying off-site reclamation. One of the reasons being that Pismo is already moving in that direction, and the hope is that at some point maybe we partner with Pismo and have a truly regional effort at reclamation. And so if they're looking off-site, and they're investigating off-site along with their on-site also at this point, and we're looking off-site, maybe if we come up with something that works for them, then maybe we can partner and get something that's truly regional. The satellite facilities, of course, they, given the yield and what we would have to put in, didn't make sense, but an off-site reclamation facility, if it turns out that we can't do it at the district, might make sense. So the group had asked WSC to come up with a work plan to see the cost involved with continuing the study on the off-site facility and costs associated with continuing the study that would investigate reclamation on-site at the district. And that's where we left it. That's where we'll have a meeting again in the first week in February. I would invite any board input or any board direction on where you gentlemen would perhaps like us to go forward with this study. Again, the study is being paid for by the district and by the city of Arroyo Grande, and it will go before Arroyo Grande's board also. So that's primarily what we discussed. That was primarily where we ended, and again, I'd invite input and comment and direction from the board if there's any. That's it for that one.
Okay.
So, with regard to training, staff attended in-house safety meeting on the OSHA top 10 industrial hazards as part of our safety training program. Staff also attended a safety success recognition dinner at AJ Spurs. The dinner was part of our safety incentive program and recognition of one complete year of operation with zero reportable injuries or accidents. And so in acknowledging our staff's effort, we had a dinner at AJ Spurs. Myself and Ms. Nunley met with Katie DeSimone again yesterday. We're trying to keep a constant communication as we move forward with our redundancy and other projects. When we spoke, and again, there's been this constant question about our permitting, and she expressed that our permit was probably not a top priority for her, and that's a good thing, that she had a lot of other issues to address and attack, and that our permit is coming, and that our permit is probably going to be received at sometime mid to late 2016, is what we were told. And again, she expressed that that's not a problem. It's probably more of a compliment, that they don't need to be concerned with us, and that they can address us at a later date because they have more pressing issues with regard to enforcement. Another question we'd had is, when we do get our permit, would it be what would be the effective date? Would it be from the time we were originally supposed to have it? And she indicated that our permit would be from the date it's issued. So if they issue it in October of 2016, then it would be a five-year permit going forward from October of 2016. And so that was good news. It takes some, as we move forward our redundancy project, it kind of gives us time, a little more time. She expressed that she was really happy with the direction, with the administration of the district, with the direction of the district, and that she hoped that we would continue our efforts. She sees the efforts for redundancy and the changes and all the things that have been positive. And she just really acknowledged that she was really pleased with our direction and happy, and again, that we would continue. So. That's what I got out of it. If Mike has something else out of it, it was really a positive meeting. She encouraged our movement. She endorsed our movements with regard to redundancy, and so that was pretty much the end of the meeting. And that's all I have for my staff report this evening.
Great, thank you, John. Let me see, Director Grill. You have any questions?
Yeah, I do. I understand that Ms. DeSimone mentioned that the timeline for our redundancy project may not be as aggressive as you initially thought.
Could you restate that question?
I've got the minutes from your meeting yesterday, and that you mentioned that the RWQCB's timeline may not be as aggressive as originally envisioned.
Yeah, she's, in talking to her, they're not as concerned because they understand, or she understands, that we're self-motivated now, that we're doing this. It's not that she wants it done any less, because Katie DeSimone was one of the initial water board people that voiced a concern about redundancy back in 2012. And what we got from her was that she's pleased that we're doing it on our own, that, you know, it's not that we may have more time, but it's not because she doesn't want it done. It's because she's comfortable that we're pursuing it aggressively enough ourselves. So they're not going to restrict us as much with regard to time, expecting that we're taking care of it ourselves.
Good, because I think that I need to go back, because I have a number of questions, because you asked about questions that ought to be brought, and I didn't know you were going to ask that, but I'd prepared a number of and worked on a number of questions I'll pass out to the board, and to if we could provide some to the public as well. Because I think that one of the things that we need to do is go back and have an engineer look at whether or not a reclamation project may take care of any of the redundancy needs, and the number of the questions that I prepared, if the public wants to see them, would address those, because I think as a board, this board, as policymakers and policy setters, needs to have a bigger picture of what's going on and our potential options. We're moving forward right now with redundancy, but without knowing what all of our options are, I hate to see money get spent that turns out to get duplicated, or our permit doesn't get renewed, and there's a lot of potential things out there, which could include, of course, moving the plant, redundancy project at the plant, reclamation at the plant, regional solution. And so anyway, so you asked, and I didn't know you were going to ask that, but these are questions that I had worked on. Obviously, we're not expecting an answer tonight. There's okay. a whole laundry list of questions.
Hold on. It would be nice. I don't know if you hadn't given these to them ahead of time.
Correct. I'm not asking him to go through and answer these questions.
Well, no, I understand, but I think the community wants to know what are your questions, and I don't want us to sit here and belabor, but I know there's a copy for anyone who's here, but anyone who's watching won't know.
Correct.
So maybe just hit the high levels on the big bullet points of the questions you're asking.
Sure. Should the current scope for the reclamation feasibility study be modified? Can a reclamation project also address redundancy needs? How does timing compare on the efforts for the redundancy project, reclamation project, and the PISMO reclamation project? What roles and responsibilities should be considered for Arroyo Grande, Grover Beach, and Oceano in developing a reclamation facility, since they are the water purveyors and the sanitation district is not a purveyor but has control of the resource? What is the capacity of the groundwater basin to store reclaimed water during different conditions? What are the objectives to be considered in developing a funding for a reclamation project? And again, this breaks down some of the individual entities' responsibilities. And what outreach and involvement should occur with others? And what I didn't include here was, of course, we started the outreach in 2012 when we had the reclamation forum.
I'd like to address the, because I keep hearing this redundancy and reclamation thing. This district, okay, I'll say this. As a chief plant operator, our responsibility is redundancy. We don't have a responsibility to do reclamation. It is something that would be great if we can do, but I don't believe that reclamation should delay a redundancy when we know redundancy is urgent. And part of my report tonight I indicated that we did have excessive water in our bearing on our fixed film reactor, and we do have metal fragments showing up in our bearing. And so I don't think that I think that to get reclamation mixed in with redundancy to a point where it would delay redundancy, which is redundancy is public safety, public health and safety. Reclamation is a project that would be nice to do, and it would be something that would serve the district, but it's not something if we don't do that's going to put our public health at risk. But not doing redundancy does put the public health at risk. So they are not one and the same, and I don't really think they should be considered on the same level. I think in my mind, in prioritizing public health and safety is much more important than providing extra water at this point, even though extra water is important. Public health and safety trumps that. I personally would hate to see us delay a project on public health and safety for the sake of producing water, which is not our responsibility at this point. That's my input on that.
So clearly there's some questions that have been asked, and I think maybe staff, obviously you haven't had time to look this up tonight, but
right.
Working with our consultants, let's get some responses, because some of these items would be addressed in the study already. But I think your point is very well taken with respect to redundancy being public health and safety versus reclamation. So, and I know we've heard comments from the community on the issue of why doing the reclamation and the whole point of we're not in the water business, although in a, I don't know, it's weird to say in this drought after a day and a half of this rain, but we're still
in a drought.
Yeah. Drought. Yeah. Is that all? That all you have?
Yes. Thank you. Thank you so much,
Director Hill.
I'm obviously shared the concern on the lube oil and the water in the FFR bearing. That's very concerning and does speak to the necessity for redundancy at the plant. On the subject of redundancy, since we brought it up in the satellite water resource recovery facility, it seems to me that redundancy provides feed water for a secondary treatment plant if there was one to be built for water recovery. And again, that I agree with Mr. Clemens that health and safety of the public is paramount, and we are one FFR bearing away from violating our discharge requirements. So I'm I'm in heightened concern mode on that. I want to congratulate the staff on a year of safe work. Excellent job.
Agreed.
Great job by all at the plant. Industrial safety is really job one, and we don't want anybody hurt. We want everybody to go home safe at the end of the day, and that's a commendable achievement. I'm glad also that you're in communication with Ms. DeSimone at the Water Board and keeping them appraised of where we are and where we are with the projects. So I'm pleased with that. Good job. And hopefully I see it as a positive looking at any potential satellite water resource recovery facilities from a regional perspective is also positive. I look to possibly partner or certainly include Pismo Beach in that, in that they are also looking into that. And it seems to me that a regional response is probably more going to be more effective in the long run than everybody trying to do their own little projects. So again, commendable. Thank you.
Thank you for this. And I want to join you in commending staff on a year of work going with zero reportable injuries or accidents. John, the one thing I do want to make sure of is when the last time we talked about this satellite water resource recovery facility, I think the board had said we're going to put on that on hold. So I just want to make sure that we're still holding with that direction, and while you're still meeting with the others, I think that was, it's a positive step to be meeting with the cities and other entities. So I wanted to just kind of make sure that we're going in heading in the right direction.
Yeah, so that was to make sure that we're still on hold was on mine. We did ask WSC to develop so that we could really evaluate, you know, how we, you know, so what we could bring to the board so that it could be evaluated by the board if we decide to move forward in the direction of offsite or if we decide to move forward in a study. So I felt comfortable with having them do a work plan for how they would move forward as opposed to actually moving forward. That's it, the difference, I thought.
Okay. Very good. And then I did want to ask, so I know when we had talked about the Pismo Beach had been looking into doing reclaimed water, recycled water, that they hadn't formally approached this board or staff. Have they since approached the staff with a formal, hey, be part of this?
No, they have not in any way, shape, or form made any contact with us. They've not been part of our meetings. When I say it's my hope, that's all it is at this point, a hope. In our efforts to investigate recycled water and satellite, there is some crossover. For instance, WSC is working with Pismo. As we talked to some engineers today that will be on our redundancy project, they've been involved. So there's crossover with the people who are doing it, but Pismo as an entity has not contacted us at all with regard to recycled water.
Okay. Thank you, John. I think those are all the board questions. Is there anyone from the community that would like to comment on the director's report?
Good evening again. I'm Julie Tacker, and I appreciate Mr. Guerrero's list of questions, and I hope we can have a thorough discussion on all of that. What I should have said first is I'm very impressed with your interim administrator. I feel like more has gotten done in the 4 months you've been here than in the year prior. So don't get me wrong when I disagree with some of what you say. That's my prerogative. But I do think the district is going in the right direction with this leadership. Something you didn't ask about, Mr. Scholes, was the rate increase notice, and I think this might have been the time to do it. And I hope if that discussion does come back, that the public can be part of it. I like that Katie DeSimone maybe has backed down a little bit. What's wrong with the redundancy project is where you want to put it. your site is obsolete. The new regulatory climate with sea level rise and tsunami run-up does not encourage development of large infrastructure projects in that very sensitive coastal zone, that coastal climate. So if your redundancy project could be located off-site, now we're talking, if that's really the goal, to have the clean water. But if you're going to spend $20 million, you want to put that money where it can always be accessed. And if you dump it in to the island, that money will be gone. That concrete, the flood-proofing, ridiculous infrastructure, ridiculous engineering to flood-proof a piece of equipment that shouldn't be there. It's just counterproductive. So that's where you do need to go back to that discussion. And maybe it is an off-site redundancy project. Get off that property because you're sitting in water. I have a lot more to say. You've heard me say this before. When you did rattle off the cities in the meeting that you had, John, Pismo Beach should have been there. I think you have to have the holistic conversation when it comes to recycled water in a regional approach. And maybe it's that big board meeting where the city council of Arroyo Grande, Grover Beach, and Oceano CSD, and you get the big center down here, have a giant board meeting with Pismo Beach too, and put all the cards on the table, because you're all affected by it. It's your basin and it's your money. It's really about the money. Health and safety, I totally understand. But who pays for it? Whether they get fined, they pay for it, or whether they just get billed to build it, they pay for it. It's the ratepayers' money, and that's what we're talking about.
Is there anyone else?
Well, I see problems here, and I don't have an answer to the problem. Although, when I hear about delaying the redundancy project, I get really, really nervous because it is about health and safety. This is a plant we've got now. This is a plant we're going to be using for the foreseeable future. I haven't heard any plans about a new plant anywhere else. We need to keep this one operating. We need to keep it up to standards. We don't want to be fined. We don't want to have something go wrong and not have a backup. To me, the redundancy project is the number one priority. Ever since I've been coming to these meetings, that's what I've been hearing about, and haven't heard anything that makes it okay not to take care of what we've got right now. I'm all for building another plant somewhere else, but I haven't heard anything about that really that's viable at this point. And I think what we've got now, we need to make, keep safe, keep workable. Our superintendent is saying that's what we need to do. Let's listen. He's telling the board what we need. Let's get it done and then do the reclamation or build another sewer plant somewhere. But right now, let's be safe now. Thank you.
Great. And let the record show, I think it was Mrs. Price, correct?
Yes.
Great. Thank you.
Thank you for your comment.
One, I want to congratulate you, John, and the staff for no accidents. Phenomenal. Really good job. Hopefully the workman's comp rates reflect that and go down. Save us money. I do agree with Mrs. Price. I have not heard that we're looking for another location for a redundancy plan. I believe we have now less than 4 years to pull off this redundancy plan. So to even look at another site, we'd have to look for it, we'd have to purchase it and everything else. I'm concerned about the water that comes into my tap, into my house in this district. And like Jim says, you know, that bearing goes out. We're up a creek without a paddle. So I'm going to stand here and just keep saying redundancy, redundancy, redundancy. We need it, and we need it now. We've got, I think it's 3 years and 11 months if I'm counting down correctly. So let's keep up the good job. Thanks.
Thank you, Ms. Ross.
I can say that again.
Is there anyone else that would like to address the board on the superintendent's report? Okay. Seeing no one come forward, we will move on in our agenda.
A quick question. If we could add the condition of the FFR then for the next board, if there is.
Well, what do you have?
I'm asking for the condition of the FFR. If we could have a report on it, there is, about the metal and the bearings in it.
Okay.
That way we can be advised.
So what I'd like to do is maybe going forward, let's hold those, and when we get to communication at the end, then we can give that kind of direction to staff so that we can keep moving on the actual agenda items. Okay. But I will jump on my soapbox because I think someone said it. This is the ratepayers' money.
Mm-hmm.
I definitely agree with that. So we're going to definitely keep that in mind as we go forward. Let's move on to board action or individual items. And this is item 5A. This is appointment of John Clemens as the district representative to San Luis Obispo County Flood Control and Water Conservation District Zone 1 and 1A Advisory Committee. Staff, who's going to give this report?
Yes. In a matter of background, the San Luis Obispo County Board of Supervisors formed the San Luis Obispo County Flood Control and Water Conservation District Zone 1 and 1A Advisory Committee to provide input on the maintenance and operation of the flood control facilities for the Arroyo Grande and Los Barrios Creeks. The advisory committee is made up of 7 members. Due to the district's significant interest in successful operation of flood control facilities, the district has traditionally been represented on the advisory committee. The County of San Luis Obispo staff has requested that the board formally appoint the district's representative. The district had appointed or had sent Shannon Sweeney. Previously, she's been the district's representative. She sent a letter to the Zone 118 Council and to myself saying that she would no longer be representing the San District on that board. And so the board contacted me, or the county contacted me, about another representative. As I looked around me, seems like another thing I need to step up to do until we seat our next district administrator. And I serve as administrator and superintendent, and for the last few years I've been going to the county's emergency flood control meetings. So I think that I have at least enough information to listen and provide input where it's necessary on behalf of this district with that board. So we're asking that the Board of Supervisors appoint me as the representative on that board for this district.
Very good. Any questions of the interim administrator?
No. Thank you, John.
Okay. Do any members of the public want to address this item, 5A? Seeing no one come forward, someone want to make a motion on this item?
I would move the appointment of John Clemens as the district's representative of San Luis Obispo County Flood Control and Water Conservation District Zone 1 and 1A Advisory Committee.
I'll second that.
Okay, there's a motion and a second. If there's no additional discussion on the motion, there is a resolution associated with this, so let's do a voice vote. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
All opposed? None. Motion carries.
Thank you, Mr. Clemens.
Okay, we're going to move on to item 5B. This is a contract with Michael K. Nunley and Associates, Inc. for General Engineering Services. Mr. Clemens, you have the floor.
Staff has recommended that the board authorize the interim district administrator to execute a contract with Michael K. Nunley and Associates for General Engineering Services. For many years, the district's relied on contract services to perform engineering planning, management, and tasks. I'll use an example. Gehring and Associates, Shannon Sweeney, we've recently used Kennedy Jinks to do a pre-design for a redundancy project. And so this is in line with those type of contracts and agreements. We have had Nunley and Associates on a number of projects, and all of them are basically pre-designed. So they're not at a bid phase. So they're general services, and instead of having to write a contract for each and every one of them, we'll just develop or agree to a general services agreement so that the staff can be flexible and work with Mr. Nunley. One of the provisions that we've taken that's a departure from past in some cases is that we've capped it at $100,000, and the reason staff has thought that was a good idea is that it would give the board, at a certain part, it would give the board a benchmark with a vendor, and we hope to do this with all our vendors and the contractors going forward, that when we get to a certain amount, in this case $100,000, that we'd bring it before the board before we continue spending money with that particular vendor. So we'll give the board a chance to review our spending with any one vendor. So that's why we put $100,000 on there. At whatever point we reach $100,000, and it's not for any one contract, it's for the entirety of the contract, then we would come back before the board and say, hey, we spent $100,000 on services with Nunley and Associates. We'd like to spend more, but we'd like to have the board review and see if that's something that the board would agree with. And that being said, Mr. Nunley is here himself. I'm not sure if you wanted to have a few words to say as we go forward, or...
Good evening. I'm Mike Nunley with MKN. I'm also at 589 May Street in Arroyo Grande, for the record. So I appreciate the opportunity to be before the board today. We've had the privilege to work with the district on a number of items over the last several months. We gave some background of our firm here. One of the advantages of a general services agreement is there's no commitment to have us do anything with the general services agreement. Everything's based on a task order. Everything we currently do with John is based on we've given budgets and scope letters on everything that we've done thus far, and that basically would continue that practice in a more formal setting. But there's no commitment here. If John doesn't have anything for us to do, we're not billing time, for lack of a better term. But we appreciate the opportunity to be considered for this, and glad to answer any questions you might have about us or capability or
very good,
et cetera. Thank you.
Don't go very far.
Okay.
Director Hill, you have any questions?
My concern with this is not with either the concept or the task agreements that may come up, which I would support that approach, but I don't see a rate schedule as a part of this.
I'm sorry, the rate schedules I handed up before you, there was one, at least one out for the public, and so it wasn't part of the package, but we brought them in today. And this is
it's the current, our current rate schedule.
Okay, and then this would be made a part of the proposed contract.
Yes, in the billing section, I believe it's B or... Yeah. It would be made part of the contract, yes, as a part of the agreement.
Okay, and the district retains the ability to contract with other firms as necessary as well, I presume.
Yes, we're not, this is not exclusive at all. It just gives it an opportunity to call Mr. Nunley, again, like we would call Mr. Gehring or Ms. Sweeney, if we thought their expertise was the best in that particular situation. So it doesn't bind us to use them. It just gives a more formal and structured environment for us to work with them.
Mm-hmm. Okay, thank you.
Okay. Director Guerrero.
Thank you. Mr. Collins, I don't recall, and it could be just that I don't recall, was there an RFP for this?
RFP for?
For engineering services. Because in other times when I've had them, we've had RFPs, and the engineer will sign on, and we have a similar arrangement. But
an RFP is generally, an RFP is generally when you have a specific task in mind or a specific. This is general services so that we could call any. Again, it's not uncommon. We didn't, we've been using Gehring, and we didn't have an RFP for that. We used Shannon Sweeney in the past. We didn't have an RFP for that. We just had agreements. And the reason we didn't is because they were general services, because we don't have a district engineer. If we had a district engineer, it would be different. We're not trying to hire Mr. Nunley and associate as district engineers. We just want to make available the usage of their services when as needed, I think, would be the key term. And so we weren't looking for a district engineer, and we weren't looking for anything for a specific task. We're just looking to have another resource available to staff with regard to engineering.
Thank you, John. Mr. Mayor Schultz, thank you. Okay. Thank you, Mr. Clements.
And I just want to make sure the council heard that explanation by Mr. Clements. Are you in agreement?
Good evening, Mr. Chairman and board of directors. Yes, we are in agreement. I'd like to point your attention to the contract and attachment. It's under attachment A and paragraph 4, which we have added to our standard contract, which provides the authority for this action tonight. It's basically consistent with the purchasing guidelines of the district.
Very good. Thank you for adding that.
Yeah. Thank you, Mr. Trujillo.
Great. I don't think we have any other questions.
No, thank you.
Thank you.
Sir, thank you.
Let me open this up to the public and see if there's anyone who'd like to address this item before the board.
Julie Tacker, and I think where Matt was going is that this is a sole source contract. And nobody likes those. I've seen each one of you in your jurisdiction say, let's go out to bid. Let's get some other proposals. There's a lot of engineers out there, and they all do good work. I'm not saying anything about Mr. Nunley's abilities. I think he's completely qualified. But there was a contracting snafu last month. He did work without a contract. This rectifies it, but it also awards it in that now he's on board. And sure, you can pick up the phone and call him to come down and do the work. That's what we've been doing. The jobs still need to come here. And you need to be approving what work. Within the purchasing guidelines, there is some flexibility. But you need to know what's going on and that it isn't $99,000 throughout the end of the year. I would like to see a district engineer. If there are special contracts for a specialist like Shannon Sweeney or like Mr. Gehring, then that's what you should do. Go for get special work. But to continue, I'm very uncomfortable with it in that we didn't ask anybody else. And that's just not how you should do business with the ratepayers' money. It is sole sourcing. And I've said it. I'm very uncomfortable with it. The rates do not seem outrageous. But, you know, what's he? We've had three things going on with him already. It is hard to track what's going on. If you put him under one blanket, I think it'll be even harder to track what he's working on. And so you do what you need to do, but I think there's no urgency to this, and that you could ask for proposals from other engineers to do the same kind of work.
Thank you, Ms. Tacker.
Thank you, Ms. Tacker. Anyone else?
I, too, was going to question an hourly rate because I just saw the lump sum of $100,000. I would like to ask this board to direct staff. I don't know when the last meeting was that there was one person in the audience, just one. But that's how many of the rate schedules were put out there for the residents. I'm a resident of this district. I come to these meetings. I want to stay informed. Would you please instruct them to have enough stuff for the public? Thank you.
Thank you for those comments. Is there anyone else?
I didn't want to interrupt if other folks have comments, but I did want to respond to a couple of the comments because I think they're good ones and there are things I would be concerned about too if I heard the presentation. First, any task orders that are set up under this contract are set up separately. They all have a scope, a budget, and a schedule. All the work that we've done so far with Mr. Clemens, my understanding is it's all been done within the district's purchasing policy, so none of those, we have had scopes, budgets, and schedules for each one. None of them have exceeded your authorization limit. So that's the reason that they, my understanding, that's the reason they haven't come to the board thus far is because they're within your purchasing policy. So I did want to point out it's not that we're kind of running wild and just charging time. Everything we've done has been defined with a scope, schedule, and a budget. So and we would continue to do so, each task order tracked separately. I'm glad to respond to questions on any of those as they come up, too.
Okay, very good.
Thank you.
Anyone else? Seeing no one come forward, let me close it to the public, bring it back to the board. Director Hill, do you have anything else?
I am sensitive to the concept of sole sourcing, and sometimes I've seen invitations to other firms to provide bidding in case there was some reason that one firm's workload might not allow them to participate in whatever the task at hand might be, or they would be delayed in their ability to work on something that had a time-critical element to it. So while I support this item with the inclusion of the fee schedule and with the concept of the task description and task method of control, I'm not opposed to, in fact, I would endorse having other potential firms, again, such as Gehring Taylor and other engineering firms that might be able to supply services as needed.
Okay.
Thank you. Yes, I think in public comment, I think somebody was reading my notes because I did have concern about sole source and I did have concern about board oversight. Those were items that were not covered in the staff report. And one of the concerns that I had is there's this, everybody knows, and there's people that have come looking for the Knudsen report that's coming out. And I'm concerned that one of the criticisms of the prior boards may be the sole sourcing, not receiving other information from other staff. I know that Mr. Nunley and Associates, I don't know Mr. Nunley, but I know they have an extremely good reputation. But I do think in the interest of trying to do what's best for the ratepayer, I think the right thing to do, even if we eventually may end up hiring Mr. Nunley, who's known for his good work, would be to get other proposals.
Okay. So staff, is there a critical timeline to adopt in the contract? Or take on the contract, as you say?
We are working on redundancy. We're working on three different projects. When we say, are we looking for another engineering firm to do general services? Is that, I mean, because if we're saying, because this is not for a specific project, this is for the district to have access. And again, I'm just confused. As we go forward with this, we could go for a district engineer. The board could direct staff to put out an RFP for district engineer. Getting back to your question, Chairman, is time critical? Yes. If the board chooses, then we'll. I'm just not sure how we would phrase an RFP in this particular situation.
Well, I'm only asking time frames and consequences of no action. That's all.
Consequences would be that we would immediately have to stop our work with basically all our projects and wait to perhaps hire another engineer, bring that other engineer on board, brief them, bring them up to speed of where we are, have them go back, do the research and redesign, because most engineering firms aren't going to trust the work of the last one. They're going to go in and do their own work. So it would be probably expensive, time-consuming would be the consequences. We'd end up paying more money. We'd end up delaying the projects that we have on there.
And so then I think Jim alluded to this. So there's nothing that says if we enter into a contract with Nunley, because I think he pointed out this is not their make work. This is as needed general services contract. So is there anything that would prohibit us from doing something similar with Mr. Gehring or anyone else? I think, Jim, you had kind of touched on that a little bit, right?
I'm familiar with some jurisdictions that have bids from various potential vendors and maybe a list of approved vendors that can be selected from as the need arises and their capabilities match the job task at hand. So that's kind of what I would envision here. Not that this couldn't be the first of such, but I think that would probably address the question of sole sourcing to satisfaction.
Okay, great. So I will say that I was concerned when I heard $100,000, and you know, thanks for the clarification of having task orders. So I do want to just get further clarification on that, John. If there were projects or things Mr. Nolan was asked to do, when would you report that to the board? How would you report that to the board?
If they exceeded the $5,000 spending limit for the district administrator, then they come before the board. Really, it doesn't change our purchasing policy.
And that's critical for you to put that on the record, for people to understand that. I think the perception in the way the report was presented is that there was going to be activities going on, and then once you got to $99,999, you'd come for the board and say, hey, we still have some work to do. Can we have more money? And that's clearly not what you're recommending, correct?
That's not, yeah. We're not departing from our policy, our current policy of bringing everything to the board. It's just, as Director Hill stated, it's really adding another engineer to the list of engineers that we already use.
So. And provided we can continue to provide that oversight with you directly and then coming to the board, if we exceed or going to exceed that $5,000, I think we have the controls in place that we need, and the community will see that we're being fiscally responsible.
Yeah, and $100,000 was an effort to be even more fiscally responsible, that at some point when you get to and high end, that the board would have a chance to relook at what we're and see if we're overusing one particular vendor, kind of thing.
Okay. So we've had a lot of questions, we've had a lot of discussion. So is anyone prepared to try and make a motion, and we'll see where that goes?
I would move that the board authorize the interim district administrator to execute a contract with Michael Nunley and Associates, Incorporated, for general engineering services, incorporating the fee schedule that was presented separately here tonight with the material that's already in the board packet.
Okay.
I'll second that.
There is a second. So there's a motion and a second. Any further discussion on the motion?
No.
Okay, seeing none, roll call, please.
Chairman Hill?
Director Hill votes
yes. Sorry. Director Hill, I stand corrected.
New titles.
Vice Chairman Guerrero?
No.
Chairman Schultz?
Yes. Motion carries 2-1. So let's move on to item number 5C. This is a contract with John Rickenbach for redundancy project permitting. Mr. Clemens.
Okay, staff recommends that the Board of Directors authorize interim district administrator to execute an agreement with John Rickenbach for regulatory permitting consulting related to the district's wastewater treatment facility. The district has begun preliminary phases of wastewater treatment redundancy project and had met several milestones. One of them being initial consultation with California Coastal Commission staff, which was done by Mr. Rickenbach. Before we even get to the whole soul sourcing thing, staff did contact specifically.
John, you can just address us. And
okay, staff did contact Kennedy Jenks, thank you. Did contact Kennedy Jenks to offer a bid for permitting services for this particular project. Kennedy Jenks said they got back with me a few days later, and they said that they don't specifically do it, that they typically contract it out, and they recommended that we use John Rickenbach because he's in the area and he's very good at what he does. So there was an effort to get another bid from another engineering firm that was familiar with what we're doing. So JFR Consulting has submitted an attached proposal. The proposal is attached for redundancy project permitting services. The cost estimate to provide these services is not to exceed $32,000. Additional technical studies required by permitting agencies or requests for information required by agencies could require additional effort, but the budget for unforeseen tasks cannot be anticipated at this time. What all that is saying is that Mr. Rickenbach is presenting a proposal based on a set number of tasks, but being in the permitting environment, things change, things happen, things are asked, and that this could, at this point, it's not to exceed, but if it costs more, then either the district can seek to do it themselves or another way. But I should probably allow Mr. Rickenbach to state that portion of it itself. Because
okay. Mr. Rickenbach.
Thank you, Mr. Chair and Board. It's great to be in front of you today. I'm John Rickenbach. My firm is John F. Rickenbach Consulting, or JFR Consulting, based in Atascadero. I'm really here just to introduce myself, and if you have any questions, as Mr. Clemens states, as part of putting together the scope of work, I have done some preliminary outreach to both the county and Coastal Commission, gotten some feedback which drove what the scope should be. And again, there's more that we'll get into in a later part of tonight's presentations where I'll go into some of that. But again, if you have any questions about some of the specifics that go into this, by way of quick background, I've been in the business for about 25 years doing environmental and planning compliance services for pretty much every agency within the county and many in Santa Barbara County. So with that, I'll leave it at that. And if you have any questions, I'm here to answer them.
Very good. Thank you, Mr. Rickenbach. Any questions of Mr. Rickenbach or staff? Jim, no questions?
No question.
Matt?
No, I thank you for your letter, actually. It was very thorough and very informative. Thank you so much.
Okay. John, don't go far. I did want to ask you some questions regarding it. It looks like you had some consultations with county staff, and can you maybe just kind of enlighten us again? I know it's in the packet. Regarding how we got to the point of, it is the original jurisdiction of Coastal Commission, and the county seems like they have kind of not quite followed the process with other projects in the past. So I'm not, can you kind of just
sure talk about that? Conceptually, when you're in the coastal zone, there's a difference between whether you're in original jurisdiction or not, and that makes a difference whether what agency would be processing permits. The county historically has processed permits for this site on several occasions, but so has Coastal Commission. And in doing investigation into that with the county, staff investigated a bit more there and said, you know what, it's original jurisdiction, you probably should be working with Coastal Commission. Contacted Coastal Commission and they agree with that assessment. So originally, we thought we'd be processing through the county. We're going to be processing through Coastal Commission. There's nuances to that. but at the end of the day, it's the same application process. The difference is it'll be Coastal acting on the permit at the end of the day. They will be determining based on the application whether to them this is considered major or minor action. We'll get into that. But at the end of the day, there is still going to be coordination with county staff, because if the county does have any permitting authority in their view on any aspect of the project, we don't know that yet, that we're going to consult with them to some degree, then they would have to fold that into the packet for Coastal Commission to consider, along with the CEQA documentation, which we'd have to prepare for Coastal to make this go forward.
Okay. And then in some of your initial communications with Coastal, well, you said Coastal Steps, they're going to determine whether it's a major or a minor action. And so does that then play into when it gets to the Coastal Commission, whether it is what we call on a consent agenda, or something that would be a full public hearing?
Good point, Mr. Scholes. If it's considered a major project, and to them that means projects of a certain magnitude and cost or scope, and they have to review the project, then it would not be a consent item. It would be a public hearing. It would be processed with a full presentation with public input and so forth. If they consider it a minor project, it's a consent item, and unless it's pulled, it would go forward perhaps more smoothly. So we don't know any of that yet, but that's the concept.
Okay, and then is Coastal Commission subject to the same time frames as the county and most jurisdictions with respect to application comes in, they take a certain number of days to determine if it's a project and what level of environmental review?
That's correct. They have indicated to me that once they get the application, they have 30 days to act on it to make a determination whether it's a major or minor project. From there, it's a matter of review and setting dates and as it would be with a county or any other jurisdiction.
Yeah. Coastal Commission obviously always makes me nervous, and I'm sure I'm not the only one, because they give us time frames, and then, of course, they meet up and down the coastline. So a huge concern of mine, but not for you.
And part of the effort is to keep in close touch with them and coordinate along the way. And I've already got the points of contact we need to work with there. And obviously, Coastal is its own animal, and we're aware of that.
And you have significant experience in dealing with permits or applications in the coastal zone and with coastal staff?
Oh, sure. For many years with various projects up and down the coast, including ones right now, actually, with the city of Morro Bay, for example.
Okay.
Very good. Director Burrow?
No, and I'll have to rely on your expertise, but I just thought that 3 to 6 months seemed hopeful.
You know, again, that's based on a discussion with Coastal staff directly. I asked them the question. Those are the answers they provided. But again, that's at staff level and not necessarily at the top of the staff level. So we don't really know that. So I do want to present that caveat. And again, we'll go from there and see how it plays out.
I appreciate your efforts on this. Thank you, sir.
Okay, very good. Thank you, Mr. Rickenbach.
Thank you.
Is there anyone from the public that would like to address that in before the board?
Smile off your face. Julie Tacker, and yes, I have some things to say about this. This is sole sourcing. You can call Kennedy Jenks. They're not a land use permitting firm. They're an engineer. They would have subcontracted it out to somebody else. The somebody else could have been a whole host of coastal permitting consultants. I don't know why we're not looking for some bids. $32,000 if it goes easy. But then you've already got Mr. Rickenbach. And if it goes hard or more difficult, he's going to ask for more money. So why not some sort of contingency contract, performance-based? Get your permit, get lots of money. That's what, work for the ratepayer, gentlemen. You can do better with a bidding process. I think what set the tone for me on this was when Mr. Nunley was hired for the $5,000 to look over the Kennedy Jenks old numbers. He was coming with Rickenbach. And the report at that time was whether or not it was an appealable project. I personally handed you the map to show you this was the area of original jurisdiction. And why...
We agreed.
Yeah, and why Mr. Rickenbach didn't say that back in September, instead of talking about whether or not it was appealable, I don't know. Other than, and I've seen consultants do this, they get their nose in the tent, and they get the job, and then because they have so much history, they get job after job with contract amendment after amendment, and ultimately you've spent a lot of money for something if you prepare for the worst, get the bid for the worst, save the ratepayer money. Because sometimes they don't make any money, that consultant, when they've worked on a contingency basis, because they have to work very hard. So I don't like how this has come to you. The other thing that has been discovered is that permits were granted by the county when the Coastal Commission should have been doing the job. This is under the administration of John Wallace. Mr. Wallace is well connected at the county, and I'm left to assume that these were favors. These favors will backfire with Coastal looking over what those projects were and had their bite at the mitigation, because their mission is protection of the coast. I'm very concerned about what was missed and how that may fall on this project. And we didn't talk about the rate increase like I hoped we had earlier, but that's where the Knutson, Wallace restitution, this district is spending money on a redundancy project that Mr. Wallace spent the money on other things. You had the money to build the redundancy project, and the money's gone. So now you're asking the ratepayer to backfill those funds, and you don't have a concrete price because you don't know what the permitting climate is going to be and how difficult it is to get a permit. I know it's a lot to think about, but sole source. You didn't ask anybody else in the environmental consulting or land use permitting. And Mr. Schulz, you're a retired planner. There's people out there that would like the job. Get proposals for the ratepayers.
Anyone else?
Debbie Peterson, City of Garber Beach, and I wanted to commend you on the contracts that I've seen this evening, because they have all indemnified the district and the ratepayers as opposed to indemnifying the contractor. So thank you for doing some work on rewriting those contracts. And there's one other thing that I'd like you to think about putting into the contracts, and that is whenever we have drawings, CAD drawings, or any kind of design, that those are the property of the ratepayers. We paid for them. Could you consider putting into contracts that all CAD designs, all any design drawings, would come back to the district to whom they belong? Because I understand that we still don't have CAD drawings from Mr. Wallace, and I understand that this is a practice in other districts also.
Thank you for those comments. Is there anyone else? Okay, seeing no one else come forward, let me close this to the public and bring it back to the board. Who wants to start? Who's got?
I'll defer to Mr. Hill.
Okay.
In this case, I am sensitive to the idea of potentially sole sourcing a fairly major contract with an unknown outcome. I see this as opposed to specific engineering tasks, for example, that would be governed by a task order. And so I do believe that this is an item that probably should be bid with a worst case scenario in mind. So we have a you know, pretty much an ironclad guarantee that we will either get a permit or not, and at a fixed cost.
Okay. Matt?
Thank you. I didn't know Mr. Hill was done.
Yes.
Oh, thank you. I also was concerned about the sole source, and I think that we really need to adopt best practices. And if we are having a recommendation to use one particular person, I think the staff report should include that others were contacted, perhaps, so that we know that and that the public knows that. I like Ms. Peterson's talk, or excuse me, not talk, that's not the right term for it, but I like her comment about the CAD drawings, and I think that should be further included to be work product would include particular studies and that sort of thing. Those were well taken. That point was, and I thank everybody, Ms. Pitaker, for also making public comment. Mr. Hill and I are zigzagging on each other tonight because I actually am more comfortable with this particular contract. And I think that the justification for sole sourcing can be given in Mr. Rickenbach's experience, his background already looking into this project and his preliminary research, and the ability to keep the project moving. Because even though I do have concerns, I presented these particular questions. If the district has committed to keep moving towards the redundancy, this is probably the most expeditious way to keep it moving, and it is $32,000 and not $320,000, and so it's a smaller amount. But I appreciate the concerns, and I agree with you in principle, Mr.
Okay. So let me ask staff, just to clarify, so time frame with respect to the project, and then at what point environmental review kicks in? Do we have anything?
I probably defer to Nunley or
okay.
Mr. Rickenbach.
Yeah.
With time frames, because I.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I think presuming that we have, and I think what I've seen is a fairly concrete proposal for a project. That is to say, we have a project description that's well enough fleshed out that right now. If I were to be authorized, I could start work right away. I'd be consulting with coastal staff to get a read on what we need to include in the permitting process, a confirmation from them. I'd send them the project specs. Does this have enough meat on the bones for them to say we understand the project? And if it does, we can start the CEQA process right now. That's the presumption that we're making right now. If there's any missing project description information, I'll certainly work with Mr. Nunley and Mr. Clemens to make sure that we've got that. But the presumption is there's a lot of lag time from the get-go.
Okay. Thank you. So, staff, let me say, I think, Jim, you're right. This is an issue of sole sourcing. Now, when I say that, I'm not saying it in a negative tone. I mean, I've worked.
Neither am I.
Right? And I've worked in this business for many years, and sometimes it's if you have qualified folks, sole source is good. Now we need to identify, is there a limit to what that sole sourcing is? So I don't know if we've got that in a policy system we need to set. So I want to make sure if we don't, we move forward with something like that.
When you say limit in terms of cost?
Also, for example, in some jurisdictions, the city manager has the ability to sole source something, let's say if it's less than $50,000 or $25,000. So I was just kind of curious. I don't know if we have anything in the books here.
I don't. Do you?
Mr. Chairman, board members, for professional service contracts, you are right, Mr. Chairman, that you can sole source. Sole source is usually a term that's more used in the public works arena. And not for professional service contracts. In this case, if you have unique needs, you can pick the person you feel, the professional you feel, is best for the needs of the district based on time, experience, et cetera. The purchasing guidelines, this within the purchasing guidelines, and what I see that staff has done is they have limited the amount. So that's the control I think you're looking for, is they put a not to exceed $32,000 without coming back to the board. Other than that, it is in compliance with all of the purchasing guidelines and any other controls that you'd want to see. I think the bigger picture is that for the long term, I think you'd want to direct staff to look into purchasing policies for bidding or informal bidding for these type of projects in the long term. But given the projects that you have lined up, the importance of those projects and the need to act expeditiously on them, you know, I think that is why staff is bringing forward this particular contractor.
And that's well said. Thank you. So, I want to go on record. I know Mr. Rickenbach, and I know he does quality work. I've known him for many years. And but I will say, wherever the board wants to go with this, I'm okay with that. I think the council's clarification that if we believe this is a project that is needs to be expedited and keep moving forward, then we should consider that. But if the board wants to go forward with the RFP process, I can support either. I do want to clarify, I agree with the majority of what Ms. Tacker said. I think it's the one place I do not agree, and I take a little exception to, is the inference that SLO County, when they processed permits, did it as a favor of Mr. Wallace. And I can tell you, as someone who has dealt with San Luis Obispo County, as an applicant, as a recovering, I'm not a retired planner, I'm a recovering planner, I think, that San Luis Obispo County does favors for no one, as far as been my experience. So I think it's really a matter of the county in the past had probably made some honest mistakes and made some interpretations, and they need to own up to that. But I don't want people to think there was a sinister plot on that. So let's see where the board wants to go on this, and someone wants to try and make a motion or give some direction.
Move to approve the staff recommendation that we authorize interim district administrator to execute the agreement with John F. Rickenbach Consulting, JFR, for regulatory permitting consulting related to the district's wastewater treatment facility redundancy project at an amount not to exceed $32,000.
Second for discussion.
Okay. More discussion? Jim, you have the floor.
I agree that this project is time critical, and it's also one of the, if not the most important project that we have at the district. There's no question of Mr. Rickenbach's ability in this arena, which I think it's actually telling that Kennedy Jenks did not want to do the permitting process, but they actually mentioned Mr. Rickenbach. It's interesting, in my view, that Kennedy Jenks has, you know, obviously a major interest in getting this project permitted, and the fact that they would recommend Mr. Rickenbach for that in their interests as well as the district's interest and in moving this project forward, I think does speak volumes. And so I would be able to proceed with this on that basis.
Okay.
I've already made my comments. I would join with Mr. Hill's comments, and I'd be able to proceed as well.
Okay, so then let's have a roll call.
Director Hill.
Yes.
Vice Chair Guerrero.
Yes.
Chairman Schultz.
Yes, and then I would also like to follow that up with direction. I think as legal counsel recommended that, and we can talk more about this at the end of the agenda, but I think we do need to figure out going forward what are some of the thresholds and limits on sole sourcing contracts and whatnot.
The sense of the board, I would agree.
Thank you, yeah.
All right. So let's move on to item 5D, which is redundancy project permitting update. Mr. Clemens.
I'll just hand it off to Mr. Nunley. And okay. It's just a presentation.
Thank you. So this is a fairly brief presentation on a fairly complicated project, but I did want to give you an update on where we are so far. So As you recall, you know, in September we had put the work plan together, and we discussed earlier how the discussions with county planning indicated that a minor use permit through the county could apply. The project was considered not appealable to Coastal. Mitigated negative declaration was anticipated. And the issues really included presence in the floodplain and tsunami inundation zone. We knew that. And the permitting, CEQA, and the minor use permit process were expected to take 4 to 6 months. We talked about that briefly earlier, but I wanted to go ahead and put this up on the screen to kind of just, this is kind of where we're at and how we got there. So the flooding and tsunami risk, you know, we show in these maps. The plant is located in the floodplain, as we knew. And the tsunami inundation map, you know, as you can see, the tsunami inundation map covers a very large area. Covers parts of Highway 1, and encompasses the airport, encompasses a big part of the community of Oceano. So it's, in some cases, you have wastewater plants that are at the lowest part of a community. They happen to be in the floodplain because that's the lowest spot. In this case, there's a large segment of the community and a lot of infrastructure also within tsunami inundation zone. That doesn't lower the risk, of course, but I just want to make that point. Work completed since September. We issued, your board issued the request for qualifications for design services on November the 20th. We had a pre-qualification meeting. I believe 5 firms showed up to that on December the 8th. We had initial consultation with Coastal Commission, and Mr. Rickenbach talked a little bit about that. As directed by the board, we've had additional discussions with county planning and also regional board staff. One of the things that I wanted to say that that I don't think John's going to say himself is one of the things that the regional board, Katie DeSimone, said yesterday was that these days it's a pleasure to call the district because it's good news. I wanted to say that because I think that's a huge credit. I've worked with Katie DeSimone for many years. She tells you she's very direct, and so it's a meaningful compliment, I think, to your district and to Mr. Clemens. So I didn't think he would toot his own horn on that, but that's a big deal coming from her. So the other thing I wanted to say about redundancy project, the reason she's not issuing a time schedule order or one of these other enforcement devices is because she said was, I'm pleased with we are at staff level again. She's not the board, but she's staff, that they feel like the progress is meaningful, that the schedule is appropriate, and that she felt like that from staff level was not seeing the need to issue a more rigorous enforcement tool. So it's not that she didn't think it was an important project. It's that she felt like good progress was being made, good things were happening at the plant, and she didn't need to issue some sort of enforcement action. So that's a paraphrase, but that's really what came out of that discussion. We have a refinement of the permitting approach and the work plan, as we discussed earlier. Rate studies have been completed. You're in the Proposition 218 process. And then there's been initial consultation with the State Revolving Fund Program Manager regarding the SRF loan. So those processes are kind of all in play currently, all important to development of the project. So we really discussed, I don't know that we need to go back into the permitting approach now. I think we hit that earlier. But the highlights I had here is that conclusion is exactly that coastal development permit is required. Both county and coastal had issued permits, so there was some confusion there. There's adequate information available from prior studies in this case to pursue the CDP and to begin the permitting process. So that is a good thing. A lot of planning work and site plans and that sort of thing are available to start moving forward. And with the direction you gave Mr. Rickenbach tonight, he can start going on that. You know, the CDP being secured in 2 to 6 months, and several of you have been involved in many coastal development permits. This is staff's opinion, but you know we see where the questions go. So the plan within the next 90 days is first to if With your approval tonight, is Mr. Rickenbach can start working on the CDP application and receive the initial response within the first 30 days. Prepare a permitting plan by February on what the permits will be, and based on that initial consultation. Prepare the initial study for CEQA. We will be receiving statements of qualification from design firms next week, and be able to authorize the design consultant in March, and then begin the state revolving fund loan application process. So that's really all I had, but I did want to give you an update on the actions moving forward. Be open, able to respond to any questions you might have, as is Mr. Rickenbach. Engineers don't do a good job of permitting, so I'll defer to him on those.
Okay, great. Matt, you have any questions?
No, I don't. Thank you so much for the presentation.
Jim?
Thank you also.
Great, thank you.
Thank you.
Do any members of the public want to comment on that item? Okay, seeing no one come forward. This is just a receive and file. So we are going to move on to item 5E, which is the contract with Gray Electrical Consulting and Engineering for preliminary design of mechanical bar screen electrical instrumentation system. Mr. Clements.
Given discussion, I'd like to more time to work on that one. I'd like to.
Okay, so you are recommending, you're suggesting that this be continued to a future meeting?
Yes.
Do you have a date in mind, or is this something you're suggesting we move this to a date certain or a date uncertain, which would require additional notice?
Date uncertain.
Okay. Is the board okay with that?
Yes. I'll defer to the staff on that.
Okay. So then, does anyone from the public, I know the public showed up and this is on the agenda, so does anyone from the public at least want to address this, and everyone's come out tonight? Okay. All right, so this item will be continued to a date uncertain. So then let's move to miscellaneous items, and we're going to go to miscellaneous oral communications. Director Guerrero, you have anything?
No, thank you.
Director Hill?
No, I don't.
Okay. So this is actually where I did want to talk about the rate study and the noticing that went out, because there are folks in the community who have received those, and I know it identified a date of the meeting on February, I want to say 17th. So I think there was some confusion as to whether there was going to be another meeting before it went out. Is there a way we can get the minutes from that, just so we can be clear on what the process should be?
I received my notice. I don't know if you guys received yours.
Yes.
Yes.
Good. Excellent.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But based on comments from some sure. community members tonight, I think there is a little confusion, and I want us to be completely sure of what the process is and if we need to come back and have a discussion.
Absolutely.
You guys okay with that? Okay. So the other thing is, I know that the Knutson report, I know April, she's not here, she had left. And I know that the last time we had said staff was working with Mr. Knutson would come back as soon as possible. I didn't know if we, can you at least give us a report if we made good progress in that work?
Mr. Chairman, board members, I would expect the Knutson report to be placed on the public agenda in the next 2 weeks at the shortest, and possibly the next 4 weeks on the far end out.
Okay. Thank you, legal counsel. Just want to make sure people, we know everyone's anxious to see this report and that we haven't dropped the ball and it hasn't left our radar. Ms. Walsh, did you have something?
Thank you. At the last meeting when we were discussing the Knutson report, there was a dispute, I believe, about the billing, and it sounded to me as if Mr. Knutson was going to ask for more money. Did I misunderstand that? And if not, what's going on with that? Thank you.
Thank you for that question. Is there anyone else that would like to, since I've opened it up to Ms. Walsh? Okay, let me close it. And Mr. Clemens, do you want to? I'm not quite sure how. I think she has probably raised a really good question, legal
right.
counsel. I don't know if there's something we can share. Nothing's formally on this board's agenda.
I was left with the same question, Ms. Welsh, actually.
You're right that we can't get into detail on it because it isn't agendized, but it will be in a future meeting. Okay. There will probably be additional billings that will need to be approved by the board. I believe staff has been in, your interim director has been in consultation with Mr. Knutson on the last bill, and that is trying to be worked out at this time.
Very good. Thank you. Okay. So then let's move. Are there any miscellaneous written communications, Mr. Clemens? Do you have anything? Oh.
Oh, we did receive a written email. I believe it is from the city of Grover Beach, stating that their board representation for this board from that entity would remain the same. That Mayor Scholes and Chairman Scholes would continue to serve on this board on behalf of Grover Beach, and that Barbara Nichols would continue to be the designated alternate.
Okay, very good. Jim, was there anything?
No, but I thank you for the discussion of the Knutson report. I know that's on many people's minds, and I've become reluctant to forecast when when that might actually occur, but yeah. I'm glad to hear that we have a more concrete date.
Yeah, we just want people to know that, you know, we made a commitment to this community, and we are going to live
right.
up to that.
Whenever anybody asks me and I say ASAP, I really mean it. They look at me like, I know. I'm with you on that.
Okay, so. Very good. All right, so then let's move on to verbal report by the interim district administrator, Mr. Clemens.
Okay, and in response to a request made at the last meeting, we have in the frequently asked question section of our website, we responded to the question of what have we done about the coming El Nino at the plant. So. Some of the things that we've done to prepare are posted online for any citizens or any persons that are interested in what we may have done. As far as future agenda.
Thank you, by the way, for putting that up there. I didn't know it was up there, but thank you so much for doing that.
Question number two, I believe. Learning to use that site. Well. Okay, with regard to future agenda, on January 20th, we expect to have the audit presentation with Moss Levy, a representative from Moss Levy, being here with our audit. By the way, the audit is exciting like last year. It's very consistent. It's a positive document. So
you call it an audit exciting? Nice.
It restates.
I'm sorry.
Restates some good things. I think one of the interesting parts we'll see is that we've kind of created a baseline spending. It's pretty much consistent with the prior year. And it's, again, probably about 2.4 for operations, which leaves another $600,000 for capital projects. So kind of gives us something to work with moving forward that we were able to do that 2 years in a row. That's consistency. We also expect to have the RFP for the grit removal system.
Okay.
Before the board, so that we get approval on issuing that. I expect to have our annual report. We do an annual report to the Water Resources Control Board, and this year we will have a kind of management review section to it. Chairman Scholes, you asked last year, I think it, management review, the section before the actual report that you kind of, so anyway, we'll present that with a management review component to it this year. I have here that my expectation again is that we would have the Knutson report here. Again, you might want to have them fairly confident, so.
You're a braver man than I am.
Well, I think the legal counsel has given a window, so don't put a date on it. Just go with the window. Thank you.
You're going to have to bring donuts if you're wrong, John. So,
at the February 3rd meeting, we expect to have our financial report, our 6 month financial report. We will be reviewing the bylaws. if any of the board has any concerns or any issues that they'd like staff or legal to review going into that review, we'd be more than happy to receive questions, comments, and concerns so that we can look over them coming into the meeting, prior to the meeting. On February 17th, we expect to have our 218 protest hearing, and we expect to have a response back on the recycled water planning situation, again expecting to meet with that group again in the first week of February, and with the cost of moving forward in a couple of directions would be, and see if the board's willing to move forward. I did also speak with Pam Derby of CPS, so we are moving forward. Friday is the deadline for applicants for our district administrator position. So far, I think we received 10 applicants. She seems pretty sure we're going to receive more. All we need is one, so. All we need is one good one.
We just need the right one.
We just need the right one. So whether it's 10 or 40, if we can get the right one out of that group, then we'll be fine. So right now, the number of applicants stand at 10. And again, the application process closes on Friday, so we'll have more information on that coming up. And again, I wrote audit here, but I think I already covered that. So.
Okay. And just in my notes, we talked about some clarification on officers and Ocean Community Services District. So maybe that's something we can get a report back at the next meeting. And then the rate study process and noticing. I think it's critical that we have that information sooner than later. Okay.
The rate study.
The Prop 218.
Oh, the minutes.
So we want to get some clarification around that. So if we can do that at the next meeting, that'd be great. Okay.
I had a couple of really quick. One is, I can't recall, what was the procedure once we receive the applications for reviewing them and scheduling interviews? Do you guys recall who was going to do that?
You got me at a loss.
Okay, I did too, and maybe
district
we didn't.
Administrator?
Yeah, for the district administrator, the applications that we receive on Friday, we may need to set up a panel or something to review those and to screen those, set up interviews.
We could probably receive them and review them on our own, and then have a closed session, I would think, to.
Okay. I don't mind. I just need to know what's coming.
Yeah. So. Probably need to review the work plan, and then I'll.
Please review the work plan. Consult with Ms. Laura and I forget the other lady's name, and report back to us.
Yes. Thank you, Mr. Clements. And then my other one was, and I think I spoke out of turn. I apologize to the chair about the FFR condition. If we can get some report, you said you're finding metal in the bearings. If we can get some idea of what's going on and what's going to, you may not know, I understand, by the 2 weeks, but what's going to be required to make sure that it continues to operate the way that it's supposed to and that the plant operates the way that it's supposed to. Thank you, Mr.
Okay. And thank you for bringing that up, man, because I had written it down and had missed it. So anyway, if there's nothing else from the board members, no other, yes.
On that note, I'd like to note, I should have noted it before, we are actually working with Gary Taylor to come up with a kind of a temporary protection in case that thing fails. We can kind of do something similar to what they did in Santa Maria and put some sprinklers and at least keep the media wet. So we're currently working on a process and a plan to kind of effectively buy us some time in the event of a failure.
Thank you for that.
And you know, someone had talked about earlier, John, I want to say that, you stepped up,
And I know you saw a need and you stepped up, and quite honestly, I know that when we were considering whether to go in this direction, I asked some very difficult and tough questions of you, and I think people probably perceive me being very tough on you. I think you and I have had conversations and had talked about when you become the interim district administrator, it's a whole new political environment that you're in. I wanted just to say publicly you've done a really good job of picking that up and keeping us moving. So,
okay. I would strongly endorse the chair's comments.
So see there? And it's not even Christmas. Anyway, with that, it's I believe it's
8 o'clock.
8 o'clock, and we are adjourned.
Session for an hour or two.
No.